paperwork regenerates, your sanity does not. And always remember, you're not alone.
Welcome to the Misfit Behaviorist Podcast. Join your hosts, Audra Jensen and Caitlin Beltran, here to bring you evidence-based strategies with a student-centered focus. Let's get started.
Hey, welcome back to the Misfit Behaviorist. We're happy to be here. I was thinking this week something that's been on my mind, and that is teacher burnout. And I think this is kind of apropos because I was sitting in the hairdresser's today, and I'm not on social media a lot, but I'm sitting there because there was nothing better to do. And I'm on Facebook, and I have a couple of teacher groups that I'm on, and I'm scrolling through, and I'm seeing post after post of teachers. And I was like, I'm leaving the field. I was just called in and I'm being let go. I can't do this anymore. And I was just like, post after post. Have you been seeing this, Caitlin?
Yes. And first of all, your hair looks fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Was it well worth it? Totally agree. And I always wonder sometimes if just with social media being so much more prevalent than when I first started in the field, if it is happening more or if I'm just hearing and seeing it more. But I definitely think it's both, because from friends and colleagues and myself in real life, I can attest to the fact that it's tough. It's tough out there.
Yeah. And it was breaking my heart, because when I was reading some of the stories of first year teachers coming right out of school and getting really excited to get into the field, and then just be heartbroken at how hard it is and some of the struggles that they've had this year and the past few years, and then veteran teachers and how much things have changed over the last few years and what they're doing. And anyway, so those things have been on my mind. And I know this upcoming month, I think it's May, is like Mental Health Awareness Month or something. And so I thought, you know what, let's do something fun. I just thought about a few things that are on my mind of things that might bring us into early retirement. So I thought of five things that might bring us into an early retirement, and maybe five things will help us combat that early retirement bug that is on our minds. And so the first thing that came to my mind was the paperwork monster. Things like the IEPs and the progress reports and the evaluations and the meetings. And there is so much paperwork.
So much paperwork in this job. You feel like sometimes that's all. You could spend your whole time doing paperwork.
Drowning. I mean, sometimes I feel like I've become an accountant instead of a special education teacher. So there's more time doing paperwork than there is just playing with the kids. And so that is one thing, that paperwork monster, so many things to do.
Yeah.
Okay, second thing I think about is the unsupported hero. So, you know, you get into teaching, maybe you had growing up somebody that was special to you and you got into the field because you wanted to become a teacher because of that person, or you were a parent. So many of us were parents and then we became a teacher because we were a parent and we got into the field because of that. And then we got in there and we're like, oh my gosh, we are expected to make miracles happen on a shoestring budget, or there are unrealistic expectations that are piled on top of outdated resources, or we're now expected to perform miracles on, we're given these, some of the curriculum that we're expected to do with students that just is just so unrealistic.
I feel like for sure a reason that definitely leads to burnout that I see and feel is that expectation, right? And it's, we know we're not, there's no magic wand. We know there's no overnight success. And yet sometimes we all feel that pull of what am I doing wrong? Because I'm not seeing the change yet. So I think that's so relatable and so common in this field.
Yeah. And how much did you spend of your own money this year? Be honest.
Oh, I mean, yeah, all the time. Amazon, add to cart, this William Forster will change everything.
Yes.
This will help. And it's here in 2 days or less. So
yeah, that leads to burnout right there. How about the emotional roller coaster? The joy of that student breakthrough, that moment when they finally grasp a concept that's unparalleled. You have a student do something that you never thought they'd be able to do, and they make it through. And then the lows of whether it's the setbacks or the days when progress just seems so far away, or the aggression that we have to endure, the lack of staffing, this just soul crushing in days.
When I hear of this one, this factor, I definitely think is within minutes, within periods of the day for me, and I'm sure so many others, because I will literally be like with a teacher or a para or whoever working through a difficult behavior, but it's gotten physical. I have a child mm-hmm. who's hitting or kicking or punching me or spitting at me. And that's fine. Like that's my job. I'm there for it. I'm trying to de-escalate. I'm trying to work through. And then within minutes, I'm expected to be at like a professional meeting, like presenting data to a new, you know, like preschool family. And it's a completely different setting. I can't walk in and be like, you're never going to guess what happened. But like, literally, I have to just really catch myself and take a minute and take a breath. And that can be really draining over time.
Yep. And then there's the, you get what, you know, you get from, and this is more like the bigger society, the, like you get summers off, you get breaks off, you get paid for all these extra days. You get off at 3 o'clock. And this idea that as a teacher, you get all this time off and all you get to do, you have to just, you get to go work or play with the kids, and just this the society that doesn't understand how much extra work, especially as a special education teacher, how much extra work and time we put into it. I mean, how many times we have spent time at home working 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, how many of us work in the summers, extended school year, is just, or, it's nonstop.
Yeah. And if you're not working in the summer at your school, you're probably doing something else, trying to just bring in, because it's not, to clarify for anyone listening who's not in education, we are not getting paid during the times that we are not working.
Or how many of your colleagues do you know that are working baristas at over the summers, or mm-hmm. working second jobs over the weekends and trying yeah. to make ends meet? And it's just, it's constant. And then the fifth thing I thought about is what I call choose your own training. Is there's not only a lack of training for some of the students that we work with, but I think there's just a lack of time to just connect with our teams. There's just not enough time in the week, especially between just a teacher and her paras. At least I know in the districts that I've worked in, there's not enough time just given to the teacher and the para just to connect. Not only just formal training, but just given for them to debrief about a situation or to reconnect about just how are things going? How's it going at home with your life? You know, and to have that moment of connection with them. There's just not enough time for us to do that.
That was one of the huge culture shocks, I think, for me, moving from a private setting to a public school, was that I took for granted all of the time we had built in with our staff. Like when I was teaching my classroom and I had the paraprofessionals in my room, I had at least a half an hour with them before the students arrived and a half an hour after the students arrived. Yes, we did the materials, we did the data, we did all that, but we were 90% of the time in the same room to be like, oh yeah, what happened at lunch, or walk me through this, or remind me how to do this. And then in public school, I mean, people were literally walking in sometimes as right before the kids are arriving, and it's necessary because that's the schedule we're given, but it makes it hard to ever connect on those topics when the kids aren't present.
Right. You know, and I thought about when I was teaching that the formal trainings are great, the big trainings that we get. But I think even if I had to choose one thing in the area of training, if I could just have that piece, that connection with the staff on a day-to-day level or on even a week-to-week level, I would give up those big formal trainings to have that face-to-face with the paras on a more consistent weekly basis. And just being able to talk about the students personally on that level would have been just so much better.
100%. Because sometimes at those big trainings, you're trying to hit so many different things.
Yeah.
You know, we're lucky if some of those concepts land, or some people take away the things that we want them to. And those are great. Don't get me wrong. Like they're great foundations, but I totally agree with you. To have that time built in, like a few minutes here and there every single day, would be invaluable.
Right. And have that time protected. Right. And I'll talk about that in a minute when we talk about maybe the solutions of protected time. When we're asked, or we're protected duty-free lunch or whatever, that really is protected. Or if we're given an hour a week to connect with our pairs, that time really is protected. That we don't have admin saying, oh, we're going to have lunch bunch this week. No, that time really is time for me with my pairs to connect for our team. And so I think it's really important. So that does bring me to 5 quick ways that I thought about how do we combat that kind of burnout so we don't have teachers who are so vital to our community and our society running for the hills. We don't want to lose our teachers, our young teachers, just as much as our older teachers, that both bring really big strengths to our communities. So the first thing I thought about is that art of no, of being able to say no. And it's sometimes it's hard. It might feel impossible, especially if you're a young teacher and you're new and you're trying to impress or make, say you're trying to show that you can do these things. But it really is a superpower in disguise to be able to say no politely, to protect yourself, mm-hmm. protect your time, to protect your energy, and to set those boundaries. And it's not only protecting you, it's also protecting the other teachers around you to set those boundaries for everybody.
Absolutely. And I think it does seem when you're new, like you can't say no to anything. And obviously within reason, if someone says, hey, come to work on time, you can't say no. But if someone says, hey, I have an extra opportunity, or this could look really good if you stay for this extra thing after school, or if you want to run this parent training, there's definitely been times I know early on where I was like, okay, I felt like I had to do it. And now I'm much more comfortable saying, you know what, I would love to do that, but I just can't add that to my plate right now.
That's a great way to say it. I like that right there. And that brings me to self-care. That's your own personal weapon. You can't pour from an empty cup. So prioritizing activities for yourself that nourishes your mind, your body, your spirit, whether it's a walk in nature or a good book, simply a quiet cup of tea, those moments of self-care, those are essential for your stamina so that you can give to your students. Because while you're at it, you're teaching yourself how to do that self-care. I also want you to teach your students how to do that. So it's important for you to figure out what your self-care is, but take some time within your instruction with your students to teach them how to self-care, what that means. Whether you're doing, maybe you're doing test prep. And these days, a lot of us have to do test prep when we don't want to do that with students in special ed, but teach them how to do self-care during that. Are you lowering the lights once a day and practicing having a moment of peace? Teach them how to do that as well.
Yeah, and definitely, I think building it into everyday life is important, because sometimes we get into that habit of like, well, can't wait for Friday, can't wait for Saturday. And trust me, I love the weekend more than anything, or as much as the next person, I should say. But making it, even if it's that 5-minute walk or that cup of tea at the end of the day, whatever it is, like making it part of your everyday routine is so important, because that's the part that gets us through the week to get to the weekend.
I think you can also do that during your day at school too. Take your breaks, take your lunch, get out of the building, go to
depends
your car
and your tea. But yeah, I mean, most of it you can do during school.
So what state are you in? So the next one I thought about was to find your tribe. You're not alone in the battle. There's going to be somebody in your school, in your district, in your neighborhood, somebody who's connecting with you and going through the same thing. Find your special educator, somebody who understands the challenges, both at your professional life and your personal life, that can celebrate those victories with you, share those experiences, the strategies, have a good laugh. I mean, we need to laugh about some of the crazy things we're going through.
This one is so important, because as a new teacher, this can be so hard, or as a new educator, I should say, in any setting where we're working with so many people, and you want to get along with everyone as best possible, but you really do want to make an effort to find your people. Doesn't have to always be like, you want to have a good relationship with your coworker, your case manager, your para, but maybe your person is from a completely different grade level, but it's somebody who, after, you know, venting about the day or talking about whatever happened that day, you leave feeling better. Like you leave feeling refreshed. It doesn't always mean, oh, I was able to share my difficult day and they shared theirs and we both felt miserable after that. Like somebody who, like you said, can help you see the good side, or can help you find the positive of the day, or can just laugh with you about it. Like whatever it is for you, because it's going to be different for everyone, finding that person that you connect with that leaves you feeling more positive after that.
Someone that can fill your bucket, whatever that bucket looks like. Yep. And then the next one, kind of embrace those tiny victories that we all do see daily. There are the worst years that you have, there are those little tiny victories that you can pick out of your day. That single mastered sound, the newfound skill, the smile that you get from the student who's sometimes really difficult to work with. Those small moments may seem insignificant in the moment, but they're the things that kind of fuel you for the next thing. Celebrate those victories, big and small. Those are the things that spark those passions that keep you going.
100%. And take pictures of the students, if you're allowed to, of the work sample. Like, I kept this one. This is so embarrassing, but I had a graph of like toilet training this one student. And I think it's still in the bottom desk drawer of my desk because we just never thought it would be successful. I mean, and it took like months and months and months. And I just, every time I stumble upon it, like, it brings me a smile.
I love that. The last one that I think about is advocating like a champ, is being able to advocate for your students. You are their voice when they're at school. Parents aren't there. You're the ones that can figure out what they need and advocate for them. As you advocate for them, situations will be better for them, and then they get the victories and you get to experience those. Then you're also advocating for your fellow teachers. And the more that we advocate for each other, we advocate for our students, the whole system improves. And when we're not silent, it improves our burnout. It keeps that from happening. And staying silent doesn't help. It helps us find our voice, and it improves within our school, within the larger arena. Advocating for change, it creates the ripple effect of progress around us.
Yeah, I think there's always a way, if you have something to say it in a respectful and productive way. Is change going to happen overnight, even if you're asking for something from admin? No, absolutely not. But I think everyone respects when someone speaks their mind in like a healthy, productive way, especially when it's so clear that it's for the benefit of a student. So even if two colleagues disagree, admin disagrees, there's always respect for someone for speaking up when it's just something they really believe in and it's said in the right way.
And you can remember almost always, if you say something, somebody else was thinking it. And when somebody else says it, somebody else was thinking it. So somebody's always, they're just afraid to say it. So, and be respectful. I like that. Always remember to be respectful. And we can always be friends. We can say things and disagree. We can always be friends. And here's my bonus tip. Are you feeling totally overwhelmed? We all are at different times in our life. Therapy, good stress ball or a punching bag can be lifesavers. Paperwork regenerates. Your sanity does not. And always remember, you're not alone. And it is okay to not be okay. And it's okay to prioritize yourself. It's okay to give your all. And it is okay if the outcome isn't perfect, that things will happen. And it's okay to walk away if you need to prioritize yourself, to keep your family number one. That is the most important thing. And to remember that it's okay if things aren't perfect. And so those were my big thoughts this week.
I love them. And if you are in our Facebook group, the Misfit Behaviors Podcast, or following us on Instagram, Misfit Behaviors, definitely let us know like how you are feeling this year. Like, do you feel like you are more burnt out, less burnt out, not burnt out at all, more or less than usual, and what your tips are to combat that? And maybe we can share some resources.
Love it. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to like and subscribe. We love to hear from you. And let us know what you want to hear from us, and we will do our best to get on it.
For sure.
See you next time.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Misfit Behaviorists. And be sure to tune in next week for more tips and tricks. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.